I want you to turn to Numbers 21. I've been meditating on this really for over a week now, and didn't have a lot of time to meditate on different things other than the meetings and what have you this week. And we took some time to pray and what have you before the evening service with a group of us. But, you know, you just always stay full, right? But anyway, I've been meditating on this, and it seems right. We'll change it any time that God would have us to. But Numbers 21, and I want to go to verse 1. The king of Arad, the Canaanite who dwelt in the south, heard that Israel was coming on the road to Atharim. Then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. So Israel made a vow to the Lord and said, and understand that word vow means a promise. We can, it just says, if you serve me. You know, we go to Exodus. We'll come back here, but I do want to read this to you in Exodus 23. Because the Lord had told the people, so you shall serve the Lord your God. So 23:25, so you shall serve the Lord your God. It's really saying, put me first. Right. Fulfill your vows. Fulfill your promises. Do what my word says in your life. And then I'll be able to bless your bread and water. You see, because that's when we open the door to allow God to bless us, when we're serving him, when we're putting him first, when we are dealing with sinfulness and wrong habits and these types of things, and just giving them to God and receiving his forgiveness, not living in condemnation. We've been learning about righteousness this week at the camp meeting, and go back and listen to that. I haven't even listened to the Monday night because, frankly, I was there. I was not there on Monday night. I needed to get some rest, and I went out a day or 2 days later. So I was there on Tuesday because I needed some rest. Praise the Lord. With that, I don't make it a habit to go late, and Pastor Nancy knows that, but sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. So we did what we had to do, and I was there. Amen. We made it there. Praise the Lord. So anyway, serving the Lord and not walking in condemnation, but saying, Father, I come to you, and if there's anything in my life that's not pleasing to you, I lay it down by faith. You know, most people, I won't say most people, I'm going to say this, there's a percentage of people that may not understand that you can't just sit there in sin. You can't just sit there in wrongdoing. You can't just allow things to continue in your home. You can't continue to have the wrong movies in your cabinets and things. I mean, over the years, there are times I went in and made sure I'm cleaning out things. I mean, I had a Western, and I looked at it, it's like, that's not the right rating. But I like the guy. I don't care. Get it out of my home. I don't want it. I don't care if it's a Western or not. Get it out of my home. So, you know, you got to clean the high places. That's not my message today. But I will say serving the Lord takes cleaning out your home, making sure. You know, it's not a popular message to preach purity, sanctification, but it's simply what is in your spirit and it's coming on the outside. So we're going to be talking about the Israelites. We're meditating on God in order to be free from the bite of a serpent. They were meditating, really, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm going to read it here. But a bronze serpent that was put on a pole because these serpents had gotten, had been loosed, and they were biting the Israelites. You know, they were in the desert, so they're coming from all different places. God allowed it. There's no permissive term in the Hebrew, but it was an allowing. But the devil brought these serpents, and they were biting the people. And God told Moses, put a brass serpent on a pole, and really a bronze serpent, and that signified bronze. Really, is it's not God's best. God's best is gold. So it's a shadow and type of Christ. All right. But they had to look at their sin and get it right.
Yes.
And that serpent signified the poison that sin will bring into our lives. Yes. You understand?
Yes.
And they were looking at that, and I believe that they needed to look at that to understand, I need to repent.
Yes.
I need to get it right.
Yes.
God wasn't just having them look at a serpent on a pole. There was a reason for it.
Yes.
And yes, it was a type of Christ, to where we look at Christ today, and rather than condemnation, we say, Father, I'm free. Whatever it takes. I forgive me of sin and unrighteousness. When you know you've missed it, you don't have to make something up. Receive your full redemption of healing and wholeness. Receive prosperity. Receive freedom in every area of your life. All right. So we got ahead of ourselves, but I wanted to say that in light of, so you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in the land. I will fulfill the number of their days. So you understand, they had a covenant. And if they would look at their covenant, if they would look at God, their provider.
Yes.
But if they missed it, they had to get it right, and they had to acknowledge their sin.
Yes.
Don't sit there in your sin, refusing to acknowledge.
That's good.
Right.
Or you'll stay the same.
Yes.
You'll stay the same, or it'll get worse, because sin always takes you further than where you want to go. And God has plans for our life, and he has things that he wants us to do, but he needs us to look at Christ. He needs us to repent of anything that's keeping us back, that's keeping us distracted, and seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Because we want all the things added unto us, but we're not willing always to do the serving. Purification comes from being righteous on the inside.
Yes.
That's who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a Ford car, you park it in the garage. Park it in the garage, you're not going to change it. It's still a Ford. I am righteous.
Yeah.
But that righteousness needs to come out into sanctification.
Yeah.
And when it comes out into sanctification, then your spirit man can get a hold of the word, and you can look, and you can imagine, and you can have you can get a picture.
Yes.
Of where God needs you to go, and then you have the strength not to just hear it, but to do it. So we're going to go back to that. So they made a vow. So don't get all caught up in, well, I made a vow to the Lord and I didn't keep it. Well, just get back up and say, Father, forgive me. And this is what will help. If you haven't been able to keep your vows to the Lord, if you haven't been serving him, then come to church.
Yes.
Every single time the door is open, come to church. I'm not condemning anybody.
No.
But just don't stay home every now and then because you want to, or because you're offended.
Yeah.
It's going to trip you up.
Yes, it is.
It's not going to hurt me. It's not going to hurt somebody else. It is hurting you.
Right.
It is hurting your family because of the example that you're setting, your children, if you have children, they're watching that. They're watching that.
Yes.
Your example.
Mm-hmm.
So every time, and there have been times, and you understand, even for yourselves, if you're dealing with symptoms, there are times you know that you got to rest. There are times you know, okay, but that doesn't mean every Sunday. That doesn't mean every Wednesday. And it will get easier and easier. And I'll tell you what, sometimes even when I take a day of rest because I know, well, first of all, if I, you know, we got too much walking around and this and that. I understand that we got to do what we need to with our children, but there's a lot going on in the service today, okay? I'm just saying. It can be distracting. So we have to be an example. I said we have to be an example. And we've got to get things right. And we've got to be here every time the door is open. If your parents are not that example, it's not the right example. I don't care if they're part of this church. I'm not trying to hinder anybody. I'm saying don't take your skill and your learning from people who are not being faithful to the local church.
Yes.
Don't get off in that.
Yeah.
Well, they're just getting refreshed. They're just, you know, I know they've been out for a while. No, they're out a lot.
Yeah.
Whoever, whatever.
Yeah.
Don't take your cues from that.
Right.
You can learn things from people.
Yeah.
But one thing don't learn from them is not serving the Lord and putting Him first. Yeah, but they're watching videos. They're watching a live stream. God said, don't forsake the assembling together of the local church. You see, we're going to get back to this, and we're going to talk about that brass serpent. But in order to get there, understand, they made a vow to the Lord. And one of the things we've got to purpose in our heart and say, Lord, I'm going to be in the house of God.
Amen.
I am not going to get offended. I am not going to stay home every other Sunday. I'm going to be here on Wednesday night. I'm going to be here on Sunday. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to raise my children in the house of God, because when they get college age, they're not going to go from it. And you have a promise. If they do run from it, then you tell them the seed of the word is in you, and you stand your ground. You stand your ground.
Amen.
That was all free. I didn't plan on saying that. But it's been in my heart that there are things that we are going to have to position ourselves and prepare ourselves for if we're going to get to a place, because the serpents are biting. But what's happening? Some of us have been poisoned. In the church, in the local church, in the body of Christ, some of us have been poisoned. Why are we still dealing with symptoms? Why are we still? There's always causes. There are always, even for myself, I go to the Lord and say, okay, Lord, where is it at? What is it? You know, this last time, it mainly, there's some other things, but mainly it was because I wasn't resting. I wasn't resting. And usually if we're not resting, there are ways that we're not putting God first in our lives. And God showed me, this is tripping you up in some things. Like, okay, all right. We're going to get that right. And how many know that your flesh is going to fight you on that? And sometimes it can get discouraging, because I'm like, oh, dealing with this again? You mean I've been around this desert for 40 times. You know, they were 40 years going around circles when what they said it could have been 11 days to get there, something like that. All right. So Israel made a vow to the Lord and said, if you will indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord listened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, because he's faithful. And they utterly destroyed them and their cities. So the name of that place was called Hormah, which means destruction. God wants to bring utter destruction to sin, wrong habits, things that will keep us out of the plan of God, things that will keep us out of fellowship. He wants to bring utter destruction to things that will keep us out of the plan of God. But we have to turn our hearts toward Him. And it's got to be in our spirit man. Somebody came up to me the other, well, I walked up to them and I was reaching out to them, and you're going to hear me out on this, but it just came up in my spirit, so I'm going to say it. And they said, well, I've been in the hospital and I had some kidney problems and this and that. And I said, well, I didn't know that. Praise the Lord. We're healed and whole together, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
We're healed and whole together. They said, right. They said, I just talked to one pastor and they said, just do everything the doctor says. I said, yeah, Dr. Jesus.
Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. Yes.
And they looked at me. I said, I don't trust all the natural doctors.
Right. Yes. Yep.
I'm not telling you, and I kind of caught myself. I'm like, look, I'm not telling you not to do what the doctor says. But there are times when the doctors have told me to do things. I mean, okay, can I be honest with you? Somebody told me to take something, and I woke up last Saturday with worse symptoms than I had. And I guess some alcohol was in that particular tincture or whatever. And I couldn't go to the meeting for 2 days because I was having a reaction to that. Okay, do what Dr. Jesus says.
Yeah, amen.
Not just with the doctor or the practitioner or whoever. I want to do it, Dr. Jesus. And I just looked it up and did the research and stuff. It's like, yeah. Yeah, it had alcohol in it. Now, I'm not talking about drinking alcohol. I'm talking about an herbal tincture type thing. And it had some alcohol in it, and it caused problems in my throat. So and it worked for other people, but it won't work for me. And I'm just saying, weren't you using your faith? Yeah. But I'm also using my faith to be led by the Spirit of God. So when I said to her, yeah, what Dr. Jesus, the best thing that we can teach people is to be led by the Spirit of God. Put God's word to work in your life by looking at the scriptures that promise you what you need. And you meditate on those, just not, mumbling. Okay, I believe that I receive. Hallelujah, hallelujah. No, it's a process of through your spirit meditating.
Yes.
Observing to do. You're looking at it with the intention to do it. Attend to my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart.
Yes.
What? Their life, their health, to all your flesh.
Amen.
Only when they're in your heart. I said, only when they're in your heart. Tell your neighbor, you got to get the word in your heart. Not just your head. All right. So verse 4, then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the soul of the people became very discouraged. You ever been there, done that?
Yeah.
They just had a major victory.
Yeah.
See, if you go back, you'll see back and forth. Making vows. God came. He destroyed. Then they got discouraged. They allow oppression in. When will we learn God is constant? And if that constant, it's not God that changes, it's us. They weren't constant, God was. They just had to get back on track again. It's never God. When we are dealing with oppression, when we are dealing with the effects of sin, when we are dealing with things in our life, yes, we are in the cage with the lion, but we have the name of Jesus, which is the whip. But God is a constant, and there's no changing. There's no variableness. He has not let you drop.
Amen.
They become discouraged. And the are you discouraged? Have you been yielding to that? Get your eyes on the Lord and off that problem.
Amen.
Your body, your soul is going to give you fits. But you just tell it to shut up and say, those aren't my thoughts.
Yes.
I don't go by my feelings. I don't care if you're shaking. You tell your body, you're healed.
Yes, amen.
You tell your soul, you're not going to cry this time. Yes. Stop it.
Come on.
Amen.
That's what you tell your soul. And the people spoke against God and against Moses because that's what they do when they get disgruntled. Talk about the pastor.
Come on.
Talk about God. Yeah, God's the one that gave you the pastor. I guess you didn't like that. You want another pastor. But yet, been able to find one that'll put up with your junk. I'm not going to go any further than that because then I don't want to drive people out. I don't want to make people mad at me and then they can't get help through the word. Okay, I don't want that. That's not my heart. I got to call you up and apologize. I don't want that. So back off of that. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us? I'm just saying. That's what they do first. That's what they do. Or speak against somebody in the church. And, I love the pastor, but I don't like this person. Well, it's all the same. It's all the same wrong spirit that you're yielding to. Yeah, but they didn't do right. Well, you ever hear this thing called love? And praying for them and just saying, you can say something about me. But it's my choice to let it affect me. Do you know that people have left this church because somebody else committed, wasn't walking in love with them or committed sin against them or something like, and they left the church.
Yeah. Right.
Well, wasn't my fault.
Right.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we teach you, you got to walk in love.
Yes.
But you got to pray for people. And then some people you got to put out of the church because
yes.
you can't trust them.
Right.
So we do that, and we have done that, and we'll probably still have to do that. Because we're in a church. So if you're expecting that this church is perfect, nowhere that you go is going to be perfect.
That's right.
But at the same time, pray for us that we have the wisdom of God to deal with things because we are dealing with people's lives.
Yes.
Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Well, for one thing, God didn't bring them and split the Red Sea to bring them to die in the wilderness.
Right.
See, so that's deception.
Yeah.
Do you understand that deception sets in when we yield to offense?
Yes.
I just can't get off that offense thing.
Right.
Deception, and you might go home and there she goes again. She's been hitting it again. Well, I guess that's because you needed it. I'm just saying, if the shoe fits, wear it.
Yeah.
In other words, if you go home and you're offended, you might wanna look at yourself in the mirror and ask why. Oh, wasn't you talking about that? I'm offended. Okay, moving right along. So, for there is no food and no water. Okay, what's wrong with that? They're getting manna from heaven. Three times God brought them water. The first time, remember wherever they were, but it was bitter water, and God brought a tree, put it into the water, and made the bitter water sweet. So they were able to drink it. And then another time, he brought water out of the rock. Then the third time, he brought water out of the rock again.
Yeah.
Remember, and Moses and Aaron, they sinned against the Lord because got mad at the people and said, "You rebels."
Yeah.
See, God said, you needed to sanctify the people before me.
Yes.
In other words, you let God deal with people. We're not supposed to chew them out and bless God, what did you do that for?
Come on.
Can't you do anything right?
Come on.
Ooh, you rebels. The water gushes out. God blesses the people anyway. Yes, they had come complaining again about needing water. And Moses had about to have enough. I understand that, but he wasn't under control. You understand? God said you should have sanctified yourself to Moses and Aaron. Aaron died shortly after that, and eventually Moses did, because God told them, "You're not going into the land because you've sinned against me." They hit the rock twice. God provided them water. They were to hit the rock once, and that was to signify that Christ took the sin of mankind forevermore. But doing it twice meant that they were putting Christ to open shame. Well, the people didn't realize that, but that was a type and a shadow, and that's what was going on. And Moses and Aaron weren't obedient that third time when God told them, strike the rock. The people came complaining to Moses, and Moses was like, "No, can't you ever get it right? You rebels." And did it out of anger. So pastors have to be very careful not to operate out of anger. So in that respect, when we're preaching and teaching the word to you to help you, and then if God deals with us about dealing with offense or dealing with sin or going to your home and cleaning out the high places, that is not us saying, "You rebels." No, we're preaching the word to you so that you can be helped. So obviously Moses should have come to them and said, "Sanctify yourselves. You've been complaining. You've been, God's going to provide you water, but sanctify yourself, and then we'll go and we'll get the water." And not did it out of anger. So as pastors, we've missed it before, got angry at times. How about you? Have you ever done that before? Have you ever got angry? Well, moving right along, we don't need a testimony service about that. So the Lord's, and they said, they spoke against God, against Moses. "Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no food, no water." So, they're getting manna from heaven. They're getting a banana nut bread every day. Butter, it's melting. It's like, it sounds delicious. Our soul loathes this. Got to do something with the soul. Now, they didn't have the Spirit of God inside of them. They were darkened in their hearts, but they still had a heart.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they had to do what God said from the heart, but they had to put the word in their heart, and that was their strength.
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
So we are spirits.
Yes, that's right.
We have a soul, mind, will, and emotions.
Right.
And then we live in a body. I'm looking at you through these holes in my face. My spirit is in there.
Yeah.
And it's always the soul that will go away normally. I mean, if you need to renew your mind, you'll start having harassing thoughts. And then if you start following the thoughts that are against the word, against your brother and sister, against others in the body of Christ, against me, maybe a minister has wrongfully done something, but we pray for them.
Yes.
We pray for them.
Amen.
And there may be times that you can't attend a church any longer if somebody is in gross sin. Can't do that. But you don't go talk about them and go tell everybody. And no, you pray for them.
Yes.
You pray for them. And some people are trying to restore individuals and keeping them in a place of stunted growth because God needs them to move on and be in a place that's teaching the word and moving to the spirit and is not, the ministers are not walking in sin. But if a pastor and a minister will get things right and make sure that they're walking in restoration, make sure they're renewing their minds, developing their hearts, make sure that they're doing the right thing, then you can go and receive. Doesn't mean everybody's perfect. Well, praise God, the pastor needs to be perfect. Well, when you come to the church, it's going to be hindered because you're not perfect and they got to deal with you. I'm just saying. All right. So the Lord sent fiery serpents, or he allowed fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. So I guess what I'm trying to say there, let's go back to this. Their soul loathed this worthless bread. And that worthless meant contempt. Anything that God has given us through the years, and we start getting lax, and we start looking, and we start ill esteeming, could be the plan of God. There are some people that keep themselves excited about the plan of God.
Yeah.
They're just excited about it, and they're going to do whatever it takes. But then there are others that is always trying to get away from vacation to get excited.
Yeah.
I got to get away from my husband and my wife. I got to get away from the children. I got to go on vacation. I've got to do this. It's always, I got to get away. But what they're not dealing with is right in front of their face.
Yeah.
It's the word that will help you get excited about God's plan.
Yeah.
It's not getting away from your husband, getting away from your wife, getting away from your children, getting away from your local church.
Right.
It's the word of God that you've got to stir yourself up about, observe to do it, hear it, and then do what it says, and stir yourself up, stir yourself up, stir yourself up, stir yourself up. Rejoice in the Lord. For you are good and your mercy endures forever. Lord, you're doing good things in my life. I thank you for the plan of God. I will do whatever I need to do to grow. I'm not going to be lax. I'll come to camp meeting and get involved in the helps ministry and be faithful. I'll stop yielding to this offense that's affecting me and my family and And the serpents are.
Yeah.
Now act like you're. Okay. Let's read on. Good job. Verse 7. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We've sinned." Oh yeah. That's a good thing that they acknowledge that.
Yeah.
See, there are some people that have never come to us and said that. I've went to them and apologized on things, but they don't come to me and apologize.
Come on.
Well, moving right along. That's between you and the Lord, but it's tripping you up.
Yeah.
And you got to get that stuff out of the way.
Yes.
Now, you don't have to come to me every thought you have. I'm just talking about if you've talked about us to other people, if you've hindered us in any way, if you're going to have to make that right. Now, it's not me, because I've already forgiven. I don't have a problem with that. I love you. I love every one of you. But I want what you need to thrive. And there are things that will trip you up if you don't get that right. You got to get it right. You can't just slough it off that I can say whatever I want at home. I can do whatever I want. And then I don't ever have to repent. I repent to the Lord, but I don't need to repent to them. If you hurt somebody, if you marred their name, you need to repent to the person that you said that to. In some aspects, you need to repent to the pastor. If you have a child that's acting up, please take them out. Thank you, Lord. I love you, and there's nothing against a parent. It's distracting, particularly distracting this morning. They said, "We've sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And understand, moms, single moms, they have a lot to deal with. So I am no way, shape, or form putting anybody down that may have had to take their child out, okay? No way, shape, or form. I love them dearly, okay? So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live." So that word "look," I said that word "look."
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's to give attention, yes. Distinguish.
Yes.
Attend to my words.
Yes.
Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, just like Proverbs 4:20 there says. Look at God's word. It says in Joshua, observe to do. So you're looking, you're hearing, you're ready to pounce on what you need to do. And what those people needed to do was look at that bronze serpent.
Yeah.
That bronze serpent that signified they had sinned. They needed to acknowledge, we've sinned.
Yeah.
They're acknowledging that right out there in front of everybody else, we've sinned.
Yes.
We've done wrong.
Yes.
And they're focused on forgiveness. They're focused on God's mercy, not their sin. And today in Christ, that serpent on the pole was a type and shadow, but we have the real,
yes.
The gold.
Yes.
And Jesus took our sin, and he took our sickness, and he took our poverty,
yes.
And he took our lack,
yes.
And we have freedom in Christ.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
So when we yield to oppression, when we yield to when we yield to words of ill esteem,
yes.
Toward what God has brought into our lives,
yes.
I don't know about that church. I mean, just last year you thought we were the next best thing to,
right.
But not this year. We didn't meet the expectations. The church that God blessed you, the church that helped your family, the church that got you saved, the church that helped you get healed. Now it's ill esteemed. What is it that we're ill esteeming that God has put in our life? Are you ill esteeming your spouse? The spouse that you've prayed for. The spouse that you've said, "Lord, if I..." Oh, I know.
Yeah, come on.
They're not even looking at me, Lord. They don't even know I live. And the Lord just, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
It's okay.
Just trust me.
Yeah.
If it's the right one and you're using your faith, it's okay. I'm not talking for a dud.
Yeah. Thank you.
Nobody needs a dud.
No.
You have enough things to contend with.
Yes.
Than marrying somebody, moving in a house with them, and dealing with their demons. So they were supposed to look, observe, and do, and then they would live. What does that mean? To give life, to quicken, to revive, to refresh, to restore to life.
Yes.
It's all about restoration to life. And it's the life that lives inside of us.
Yes.
It's from our heart.
Amen.
And when we're looking at Christ, it's not just a mental. There are people that come up to me and they're rattling off, I'm blessing the city, I'm blessing the city. It's all coming from the head.
Right.
From your heart. And it's really not me that you have to convince. It's not me. In your spirit, you will draw healing, health, prosperity. You'll draw freedom.
Yes.
Whatever you need out of that righteousness, out of that inherent seed, out of that power of God inside of you, that word that you're speaking is a catalyst that explodes on the inside. And as you're speaking that word, you've become one with God's word because you've gotten it inside and you're renewing your mind, but you're developing your heart and you become one with that word and you start speaking it out of your mouth. And that's what will change your situation. But we can't speak it out of our heart when we are compromised. We can't speak it out of our heart when we are ill-esteeming what God is saying. We can't speak it out of our heart when we are yielding to sin. When we're not following God's plan. And how many times in my life God had to, you got to get this right. See, I'm using myself as an example. If I were perfect, I would be Christ. I'm in Christ, and I have his name, so therefore I can say I am Christ. We are all the body of Christ. You understand? But I am not Jesus Christ. He was the perfect one. I've missed it. But I'm going on to perfection. I am growing in the Lord. I am making the needed changes. I will never give in. I will never give up. Pastor, be careful. Don't you know the devil can hear you? Yeah, he's a very dude. I want to hear me. I will never give up. Never. I don't choose to go home early. I don't plan to go home to heaven early. But if I were ever to allow the devil to take me out, you look at it. You come to my funeral and you say, I won't give up. This will not detour me.
Come on.
Don't ever let somebody else's experience detour you from God's plan. I'm not going anywhere. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent. What did that represent? That's what we've been talking about. Yeah. It represented sin. And they had to acknowledge that. And they had to receive. They had to repent and receive from the Lord. So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. And so it was. If a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Notice that was said twice. Do you see the importance of looking and living? Looking and living? What are we looking at? What are we getting an image on the inside? When I said to Stephen Dufresne, you said three or four major things that got inside of me, and it was an image that I started seeing, and I was able to go forward in some things. Mm-hmm. One of them has to do with the building in Lee Summit.
Amen.
It's not about money, whether you have money in the bank or not. We wouldn't have this church if we... I don't know that we've ever had the money to do what we need to do. And then sometimes we've just been blessed with, the fruit of our faith just came. Not sometimes. I mean, we've seen that over and over. But I'm talking about, it's just like if money were water, it's dry. But you're speaking your faith. You're speaking your faith. You're speaking your faith. And then... And you feel like you got one nostril up here and you're going, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, out of your heart. And then you're just looking at God's word. You're not looking at anything, just at the word. You're just looking at the word, and all of a sudden, $500,000 comes for a plane.
Yeah. Amen.
Then all of a sudden, you know, money comes for renovation. Then all of a sudden,
yeah.
I'm just saying, yeah. You can't go by your experiences.
That's right. That's right.
You can't keep looking back at the things that... You look back at the good things and you remember and you're grateful and you're thankful and you rejoice that God will do it again and again and again. And not only that, he'll bring you to a place, a higher level. Don't ever give in. Brother Don, don't ever give in to when the devil tells you you're not going to live long. Just laugh. It's like you haven't been able to do it yet. How do you think you're going to be able to do it now? You'll go when you're ready. Miss Carla will go when she's ready.
Amen.
I authorize you not to go until you're ready.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I want to go to a scripture, and then we're going to be winding this up. Oh, my. It's already 12:05. I'm sorry. Moving right along. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Very quickly, and let's look at verse 16, nevertheless, 2 Corinthians 3:16, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. When one turns. In other words, you got to get some things right at times.
Yes.
You have to acknowledge the things that are holding you back.
Yes.
Acknowledge it. That doesn't, and don't get discouraged. Don't get oppressed. Remember, they got discouraged.
Yes.
They just had a major victory, but then what their eyes got off, what God had just done, and got back on the problem.
Right.
And I'll be honest with you, they still had a slave mentality.
Yes.
They wanted, they kept talking about wanting to go back where they were.
Yes.
And they were in deception because they said, you know, at least we had full meals. You know, they were on rations.
Yeah.
They were deceived. We don't have food. They had manna. We don't have water. Three times God brought water in the desert. Deception. Anytime that you're complaining about what you don't have, you have it plus abundance. But if you don't have it in the moment, it's because your mouth. Keep saying what God's word says, and you will always have an abundance.
Yeah.
And let it flow and flow and flow. Let it flow. I'm a tither. I'm a giver. I'm blessed. And then it will start flowing and overflowing and overflowing in your life. And if sin inhibits it in any way, get that right. Get right back up and get it right. If you start ill-esteeming the plan of God, if you start getting bored, the only reason that we would start ill-esteeming or getting bored or getting lax is because we're looking at the wrong things. And we're not getting filled up with the right. We're not turning our hearts. We got to, like Pastor Nancy said, you got to turn your heart to God in the morning. You got to keep your heart turned to him during the day. You've got to turn to him at night. And sometimes people are watching like scary movies right before they go to bed or whatever. And they're waking up in the morning and they're letting oppression in. Amen. Well, that was all free. Very quickly. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's freedom, my friend. There's freedom from the poisonous serpents that have been biting you, that have been harassing you. There's freedom from that. We all know, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord and being transformed. And now that word glory, it's not the Shekinah glory, but it's the glory of God. It's more of an honorable word. Giving glory, giving honor to God. But it signifies the power of God, all right? You're being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Because some people think, well, you got to be in a corporate anointing and then that glory will show up. No, it's inside of you. The glory of God, the anointing, the power of God, synonymous terms, the Holy Spirit is inside of you. The life of God is inside of you. You're being transformed. You're being changed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. And then we go over here, and it says in verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. It's inside of you.
Yes.
And if we're taking hold inside and looking at Christ on the pole, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body, brought forth. Yes. Manifestation is not my part. That's God's part. Yes. But I've got to bring it out. I've got to draw it out of my spirit man.
Yes.
Dad Hagen said, healing comes from the spirit man. Mm-hmm. Anything that you need comes from the spirit man, but you've got to look, you've got to observe, you've got to be focused, you've got to turn your heart on a daily basis and not just hear, but do, because the doing of it is a corresponding operative action. That's what that word means. By faith, not by dead works. All right, let's just go there. We'll get through with this, but let's just go to James real quick. Because I said it wrong, so we'll go there and just get it. Now, in chapter 1 of James, verse 21, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. All right? And then go to chapter 2, and it says in verse 14, what does it profit, my brother, if someone says he has faith, but he does not have works? And that word works means that which anyone is occupied, that which one understands to do, a corresponding action, employment. So you're actually doing something. Then you go on down to verse 20, but do you want to know, foolish man, that faith without works is dead, or it's inoperative? So you've got to have action. It comes out of your spirit man. That's what I was trying to say. It comes out, sometimes we just have to go to the scripture. It comes out of your spirit man. And you're looking at God's word, and you're getting an image on the inside of you, and you're thanking God that his word is true, and you're taking the scriptures back to him that he's promised you. Thank you, Lord. You took my sickness. You bore my pain. By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. You've taken my infirmities. You've brought freedom into my life. The same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead is quickening my mortal body. Thank you, Lord. I'm free from oppression in my mind. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I worship you. I rejoice. I dance.
Yeah.
I do my duty of not just hearing, but I'm looking. I'm engaging. Now let's go back very quickly to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 in verse 13. It says, and since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore we speak. And then we're going to end with this. In verse 18, chapter 4, 2 Corinthians 4, 18, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. What were they looking at on the pole?
Yeah.
Were they looking at a snake? They were looking at something that was not seen, and that was sin.
Yes.
And they had to acknowledge it.
Yes.
They were looking at God's mercy, and that was not seen,
yes,
but they had to acknowledge his mercy.
Yeah.
We in Christ are looking at Christ on the cross. We're looking at the realm of healing. We're looking at the realm of prosperity. We're looking at the realm of forgiveness. We're looking at the realm of I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we're looking and we're engaging and we're attentively and we're not allowing ourselves to look back. Or to follow the harassment of the enemy. As a matter of fact, we've got to tell him to get out of here in Jesus' name. And use your authority that God gave Adam in the first place. Use your authority that has been restored to you. Don't look at the temporal realm. It says things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You can stand up. We've got to stop looking at the things of this world. We've got to stop being moved by what people say and do in this realm. We've got to start looking to the eternal realm. We've got to start looking to that realm of the Spirit, which is forever. We've got to start looking with eyes of, I am going to be accountable to God. We are accountable now, but we're going, in order to get into heaven, you're going to have to go through a process. And he's going to ask you, what did you do with my word? What did you do with my call? What did you do with this? Well, Lord, I had some really hard things to contend with, and these people did this to me. My parents raised me this way. It's not going to fly because he put you in a church where you're hearing the word and you're being taught to look at Christ, and you're being taught to lay down the offense and lay down the things that have tripped you up. Yes. Father, we thank you for this word today. We thank you for helping us in fellowship with you first and foremost. We look to your word. We look to what the Spirit of God is telling us throughout the day. We see you in the smile of our spouses. We see you in the playfulness of our children. We see you in the lives of people all around us. And yet there are dark areas that we see, and when we see that, we pray for it. Or we use our authority to get beyond it. We're never moved by darkness. We're never moved by oppression. We're never moved by sickness and disease and things that would try to come against us, because we're ever mindful of what you've already done for us. That's what we have in looking at Christ on that pole. That's what we have. That's what we acknowledge. And if we miss it in any way, we repent, we get back up, and we keep our eyes on Christ. We thank you, Lord. And you've said in your heart, I don't understand how to do that. My husband pulls me out, and I need to do this for my children. And yet it's, Lord, I don't want to say that, but I will. It's displeased me because my fellowship isn't first anymore. So look to me and get that fellowship right. And see things start changing again. Because you getting it right, you turning your spirit to me, will affect your husband and affect your children in ways that you never knew would be affected. But getting your eyes off of me has brought you down. You need to get back up. You need to look at things at a higher perspective, because you're looking at it down at this low level, but get back up and look at it in heavenly places. A fellowship. Thank you, Lord. When we make choices and decisions, what is our priority? Is it to get rest? Or is it to get God's word in our heart and speak his word so that we can be on top spiritually? Why are we making choices? Any decision that we make, let us make it to be spiritually right. In our vacations, in our time with friends and family and children. Just because you have children doesn't exempt you. God still needs your fellowship if you want those children to grow up right. So I'm just saying, God's been dealing with me this week that there are decisions that have to be made of putting him first and not just trying to get your body gratified, not just trying to get your self refreshed in natural things. I've been there, done that. But I've made a choice and decision that, you know, Pastor Jay and I, when we take vacations, it never goes well if I just don't take extra time with the Lord. I'll be honest with you. It just doesn't go well. But if the best vacations we've ever had, and this is what they're normally all about, is we spend all day usually in the Word, resting, and then, you know, we eat, and then we go out and enjoy some time out, have some lunch, maybe go drive around, do some things. But then at night, you know, I might watch a movie or something if it's decent, if it's good. But then, you know, at a certain time, I turn my heart particularly to God in either reading a book that he's dealing with me about, or that's what my vacations are about. Or we're getting ready for ministry or something, so I'm studying on subjects. But it's fun. That's fun. Amen. Pastor Debbie, I have children. I understand that. And there are times when you can have it be more about going to events and doing things and this and that. You know, take a day here or there. But don't forget about teaching your children prayer. Don't forget about teaching your children to put God's word first. I mean, put a video on for them. I'm not talking about VeggieTales. You know, children like to watch good. They like to watch Pastor Jay preaching. Teach them to turn their hearts to God in the morning. Teach them to turn their hearts to God at night. What was it, Jared? You were sending us a picture of your children preaching because they were watching the video. I love that. Teach them to turn their heart to the Lord. Vacations aren't wrong. I don't know how I got off on vacation. Maybe because everybody was on vacation this week. But I do believe God was dealing with me to tell people, make sure your priorities are right. Make sure that you're just not going, well, it's because the kids want to go to Disneyland. It's because what's God saying? What do you need? What's the most important? You know, Pastor Jay and I, in our young lives, now we're going to conferences all the time, so but in our young lives, we took our week of vacation and we were at camp meeting. Like it wasn't a discussion. We just went, you know. That doesn't mean everybody's supposed to, you know, be at camp meeting, this and that. I'm not talking about our camp meeting, but, you know, I'm talking about maybe Pastor Nancy's camp meeting or what have you. But I will say this. Don't just make decisions based on natural things that you believe your family needs, and then the spiritual things aren't being taken care of. And then it will come out in several different ways. And you'll look back and you think, oh my goodness, I've been missing things. Oh my goodness, I'm out of fellowship. I didn't think so, but I'm out of fellowship. Oh my goodness, my children, it's all about natural things. If that's how you raise them, that's what it's going to be about. Well, I just wanted to say that. Somebody got a car, come deliver me. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you. If there's anybody, I'd like you to bow your heads. If there's anybody in this room today and you'd say, I don't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I would like to know Jesus. I would like to put him first in my life. I would like to receive him as my Lord and Savior. My friend, he's not coming. He's not asking you to make changes. He's asking you to just come and receive him, and then he'll help you on the change part. But right now, he's just saying the sin is not receiving him. The sin is not making him Lord of your life. Come and receive him. Any of those on live stream, if you have not made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, receive him today. We're going to pray a prayer. Is there anybody in here today or on live stream? If there's anybody, just signify by raising your hand there in your home. Anybody in here? The ushers can help us. Anybody listening through live stream, if you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and we're all going to pray this prayer together, so I would ask you to pray with me today. Lord Jesus, we come to you with humble hearts. We receive your light. We receive your life. We receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We believe he came. He died. He went to hell. And he raised from the dead. And we confess him as Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. My life will be changed from now on. Because Jesus lives within me and he helps me. Now, if you prayed that prayer, you can contact our ministry and we'd like to send you material. You can call the phone number. You can send us a message from our website and we will send you material. But find a local church. If you're in this area, come to our church here at Spirit of Faith Family Church, Cedar Rapids, or come to the church in Spirit of Faith Family Church, Lee Summit, Missouri. We meet every Sunday, and you can go on our website at eberleministries.org, eberleministries.org, and find all the information you need. Find a local church that teaches redemption, that you are forgiven, you're free from spiritual death, you're forgiven, and you are healed and whole, and you are prospered. And get involved in health ministry, get involved in that local church and help. And listen to the word and look at Christ, who is a representation of the real. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. If there's anybody in here that wants to be filled with the Holy Ghost, you say, I need that power. I need to walk in more power, Pastor Debbie. Well, you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Did you know that it was a command? Did you know that they were commanded to, in Acts chapter 2, to go up in that upper room and wait there until the promise of the Spirit? Well, he came. And he came and he sat on them like tongues of fire. And they all went out into the streets and began to speak in tongues in other languages. And that was a miracle, you understand. But we're talking about tongues. It's a gift. But it's something that you can do every day. You can pray in other tongues, and you can also pray in your understanding, and it will help you. It will help build you up. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. It will edify you. If that's you and you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we'll have somebody take you back, and we will accommodate you. That be you? Anybody in this room, just lift up your hand. Say, I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And, you know, most people I think are. If that's you, again, on live stream, contact us. We'll send you material on how to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Well, lift your hands one more time and let's worship him. Yes. Let's be ever grateful, ever thankful for the word of God that has went forth, that helps to change us. That answers questions. If there's anything that penetrated your heart today, don't go home and let that slide. Like I told Stephen, there are three or four major things that I got an image of. And that meant that I needed to go toward it. There may be things that God specifically dealt with you, maybe one or two, maybe more than others. Don't let that slide. Don't let it slip. Put into practice what you've been hearing.
Yes.
Look at Christ on the pole, in Christ, who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, what you can do in Christ, and He will help you to make any change that you need to make. Amen.